Hey guys, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of 20 Somethings Podcast. I am literally Casper the Ghost. I tell you guys that I'm going to be dropping so many episodes. Bam, bam, bam. I'm back. I'm better than ever. And then I like disappear for 2 weeks. But evidently, as it is with the title, this podcast is talking about life in your 20s or, you know, going into your 20s, leaving your 20s. It doesn't have to be just your 20s, but also in the 2020s. So in this very specific point in time, this very specific society we live in, and this type of sense of humor, the type of slang, the type of TV shows, references, all of this stuff is very niche. And my whole personality is very niche on this podcast to like a specific type of audience who I know is going to like get it, vibe with it, find it funny, find it relatable. I'm definitely going to be judged for it. I'm going to get written off because of it. But I also know that there's people out there who are extremely grateful for me being, you know, vulnerable and open and honest and messy and chaotic. And it makes them feel, you know, seen and heard and appreciated, and it makes them feel better. And if that's what I'm like, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Sorry, guys, I can't talk. But like, I have to keep reminding myself of that, is I'm here to build like a safer space, a community for people, especially young women, but all people, to be able to like talk more openly about real shit and like not feel the need to sugarcoat everything and feel the need to be perfect and feel the need to not ever make mistakes or not ever admit their flaws. Like, you can be a total mess and have a lot of issues and still think that you're a wicked person. Do you know? That's kind of how I am. Like, it's like, I recognize I have my issues. I recognize I have my downfalls. I recognize I've made mistakes, but I still, at the end of the day, can like lay my head down on the pillow and believe that I am overall a good person, trying my best, you know, walking through this life with my head held high. And it's not all black and white, right? Like, people are complicated and life is complicated. So I think that's overall sort of the messaging that I'm trying to get across when I talk about this stuff in a not so flattering light. But I know it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. So yeah, but anyway, speaking of relationships, failed relationships, et cetera, we are going to be talking about attachment theory today, which, sorry, I don't know if you can hear a massive plane. There's always some sort of plane, train, or automobile disrupting this podcast. But if you are on TikTok, you've probably seen some TikToks at some point relating to attachment theory, specifically anxious attachment or avoidant attachment. I had no idea that these were really a thing in psychology, but they are. I definitely believe that I am an emotional attachment 110%. And I tend to be attracted to, slash every man I've ever dated is an emotional avoidant. So yay! No wonder I don't have a husband. And based on what I've seen on TikTok, a lot of women and men seem to fall for the other type of person. Now, you guys know I'm the queen of generalizing accidentally on this podcast. I'm going to try not to generalize too much. You know, everybody generalizes all the time, especially on places like TikTok. So it's like there's typically people making a video explaining, oh, I dated a man who's I dated a man who's an anxious attachment style or whatever. And then like all the comments are women who are like, I'm a emotional attachment. And wait, I feel like I'm getting them confused. Hold on. Let me just read, first of all, let me read the descriptions, and then that might be clearer for everyone, because there's a few of you out there who probably don't know what I'm talking about. So this is about emotional attachment. This is from Healthline. And it says, 4 FAQs about emotional attachment. So it refers to the feelings of closeness and affection that help sustain meaningful relationships over time. The earliest bonds you form with parents and family members can guide to shape the attachments you develop to friends and romantic partners later in life. You can become emotionally attached to people even without romantic or sexual attraction. Simply feeling close to someone helps you bond and increase your sense of connection, etc., etc. So there are different types of emotional attachment, and some are obviously healthier than others. Most of the time, what we're seeing referred to or discussed on somewhere like TikTok is like toxic versions of these attachment styles, and like the worst of the worst type things. Otherwise, if it was just a small minor situation, people probably wouldn't feel inspired to make an entire TikTok video about it. Secure attachment is one of the most common types of emotional attachment. It develops when you feel comfortable with someone and confident in their ability to meet your needs. The bond you share is strong and you're able to rely on each other physically and emotionally. I feel like what you guys will see in all of these is that it's not so much about the other person and their treatment of you, their feelings for you. A lot of it really does derive from the self and from your needs, your insecurities, your doubt, your childhood, your trauma, et cetera, et cetera. And it really is true what they say, that like relationships can only last in a sustainable, healthy way if it's like two people who are relatively, I don't think you need to be like 100% perfectly healed and better. Like, I think it's okay to get into a relationship when you're a little bit of a mess or when you're struggling a bit, like as long as you're still trying to work out your issues on your own and not project them onto someone else. I don't know if that makes sense, but I know people always say to me, you know, I think you should just work on yourself. And I'm like, bitch, I am. But I still can go on dates and meet people and have sex and have fun while I'm working on myself. I don't have to like be a hermit in my room with my therapist for 3 years in my 20s while I work on myself. Like, I think it's okay to be someone who's actively dating and also in trying to find a connection and trying to find a partner whilst also working on yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other. So anxious attachment is, I personally feel like this is something I kind of fall into this category. I display these type of habits or these type of insecurities. So this is a subtype of insecure attachment. Anxious attachment develops when you're constantly worried that your partner may leave you or won't be there when you need them. Ding, ding, ding. This can lead to clinginess and needy behavior. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, ask any one of my boyfriends. Like, I'm a clingy fucking succubus, but it's not my fault. I mean, no, hold on. I have to take some accountability. My sister always says I don't take any accountability for anything. Of course, like, I am in charge of my reactions. I am in charge of my, you know, that stupid cliche saying you can't control what other people do, but you can control how you react to it, blah, blah, blah. And I agree with that. And there's a whole bunch of texts I wish I didn't send, a whole bunch of moments when I thought I was really doing something by like standing up for myself and yada, 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 and giving people another chance. And then it's just like, I just look like the fool at the end of all of it because I didn't take the signs for what they were. I do also stand by the fact that if I was dating men, meeting my needs, my standards, recognizing how their behavior was affecting me, recognizing how ghosting me was obviously triggering these wounds within me, then I don't think I would have displayed as much clinginess or desperation, because that's not who I am inherently. Like, you can ask any of my friends and family, like, I'm not really that much of like a clingy, desperate person. I'm quite independent and honestly quite self-absorbed at times. It's when I'm feeling like the person is avoiding me or ignoring me or blatantly disrespecting me or ghosting me, that's when these certain triggers within me get lit up like a Christmas tree, and that's what brings out the worst side in me. So I really do think it's obviously partially my fault, but then it's also partially my partner's fault for not trying to ease my worries, if that makes sense. So it's just a bad situation. And I think the more I've experienced these type of men, I really don't even know if it's their fault. I think it's just probably something that they don't even realize that that's their coping mechanism. I keep saying men, I'm sorry, I should not generalize. I know a lot of women, trust me, there are lots of women who are avoidance as well. It's not a gendered thing, but typically in my experience, having dated men, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about men, but there are of course women out there who can be avoidance. I even can sometimes be a bit avoidant with things, but I think it's just about the older you get, the more you date, the more you learn. It's like you really do have to find someone who is on the same page with you in terms of communication, vulnerability, like openness. You can't force someone to be committed to you. Like, you just can't. They either will be or they won't be. And it's just so much more for me about the ego and about the sense of loss and the sense of loss of control than about it not working out. Honestly, at the end of the day, I'm like, if you don't want to be with me, like, totally fine, because I truly am okay on my own. And it's also like, I don't want to invest any more time or energy in you if you don't want to be with me. It's just more so feeling like that disrespect and also feeling like your boundaries have been crossed or feeling like your ego has been bruised or feeling like you were led on. That's where I get spicy. Anyway, it is something that I have recognized within myself, a pattern I've recognized within myself when it comes to dating. And I think that's the first step, is being able to recognize, oh shit, like I tend to keep going for these type of guys and it keeps going this way. And I wonder if I look for this, what will happen? And so I do hope for anyone listening to this, maybe even if you haven't even heard of any of these type of things before, maybe this will stir a little bit of a thought process within you and you can do some self-reflection, kindly, gently, don't be mean to yourself, and think a little bit about what type of person you are. And you don't have to be just one thing. Like, you don't have to label yourself as, I am this type of lover, I am this type of person. But we all display some of these behaviors. Like, we just do. It's all rooted in psychology. Then there's the avoidant attachment, aka my type. That's my type. Yeah, that's my type. And this is another subtype of insecure attachment. So both are equally insecure. They just express it in very different ways. One latches on and clings on like me, and one runs for the fucking hills. Avoidant attachment. So it develops when you're unwilling or unable to get close to someone. Oh, I just felt that in like my core, bitch. Oh, I just felt that. Boys, you know who you are. If you're listening to this, just listen, okay? Like, you need to hear this. You know who you are. It develops when you're unwilling or unable to get close to someone. You might distance yourself emotionally or physically from your partner. This can lead to feelings of rejection and loneliness. So it's literally, because I am not at all an avoidant attachment, I can't fully speak for them. But from what I've heard and what I've researched, it's like you put yourself in a like heartbroken position by like pushing the other person away and like avoiding the other person, ghosting the other person, because you're so scared that they're going to hurt you, that you kind of hurt them. And then you end up still feeling like the victim, because it's almost like a very subconscious coping mechanism. You don't fully realize that you're doing it, if that makes sense. And then it's like, I'm having like flashbacks. Oh my goodness. Okay. Disorganized attachment is a third and less common subtype of insecure attachment. It's characterized by mixed feelings of approach and avoidance toward your partner. This can lead to feelings of confusion, fear, anxiety, and so on in relationships. You know, I feel like I could also kind of be this one a little bit too. I think the more times I keep getting hurt in relationships, or misled, or ghosted, or kind of fall for the wrong guy, or whatever it is. Like, I think, again, there's fault at both parties, but however many of these relationships, I'm not going to say failed relationships because I don't believe in that type of verbiage, but like however many of these relationships that didn't pan out for the long haul, like the more that keeps happening, and there's not that many guys, like there's not that many. I'm not like a serial dater. Not that there's anything wrong with that either. I keep putting like more and more of a guard over my heart, right? Like more and more of, it's like you keep bandaging up your heart each time something like this happens. And then it's almost like, how is anyone even going to access it anymore? Because it's just so wrapped up and it's so guarded away and so hidden. And then that is where I think that this disorganized thing kind of happens, because it's like a battle between my head and my heart. Oh my God. Anyone who listens to this podcast is never going to ever take me on a date. They're never good. Or if they do take me on a date and then they go and listen to this podcast, like guys ask me all the time what my podcast is, because maybe they see it on my Instagram or whatever. I don't even know. And they're like, oh, I see you have a podcast. Like, that's super cool. What do you talk about? And I'm always like, I prefer if you don't listen to it. Like, please don't. It's not fair to make like a spur of the moment judgment on one episode when I'm trying to be like real and raw and vulnerable and talk to an audience that I like feel safe with and have built a community with. I'm not talking to you, brand new man who I've never met before. Like, I don't, but I know it's like a public platform and I'm putting myself out there and I'm putting my art out there, so I can't pick and choose who listens. And I just have to believe that like the right man will absolutely love the podcast and think that I am the bee's knees and will not be scared off by me talking about these type of things that I struggle with, because I am so much more than my anxiety or my eating or my dating issues or whatever. Like, I do have a lot more to offer. And anyway, this is just me trying to justify the podcast because so another question is attachment the same thing as love? Lasting love relies on healthy attachment to flourish, but attachment and love are not exactly the same. Your emotional attachment to romantic partners and friends helps these relationships thrive over time. Without attachment, you might feel driven to seek a new partner when the first intense feelings of love fade, or, you know, a new best friend after you have a disagreement. Oxytocin, a natural hormone that promotes bonding and trust, contributes to the development of attachment. I think I have a bit too much of that. I think I have a surplus of oxytocin. In other words, it helps create a sense of security in the first stages of a new relationship. I like how this kind of said, like, the intensity of these emotions, you know, this attraction, sparks, fireworks, whatever, it does fade over time naturally, no matter how passionate and in love you are. Like, over time that will fade a bit, but the attachment can last, and that's what can sustain you, you know, that companionship, that mutual empathy, that mutual trust. And I think that's why it's important to have someone who does kind of make you feel safe and make you feel secure and make you feel validated in your concerns and tries their best to communicate in a way that resonates with you instead of just like ignoring your pleas to get them to communicate better. Not at all projecting my personal stuff onto this at all right now. So it says, generally, you don't love someone because of what they can do for you or what they can provide for you. You love someone regardless of these things. Sure, romantic relationships do fulfill important needs, but relationships based on love involve mutual giving and support, aka like unconditional love. You don't love someone simply because they meet your needs. And if you do, then maybe it's not love. Maybe it's just convenience. Maybe it's just attachment. Maybe it's just, because even some friendships, I don't think friendships should be defined based on what you can provide for each other either. Attachment, in contrast, can develop when needs for intimacy, companionship, validation, or anything else go unfulfilled. When you find someone who fulfills those needs, you might develop a strong attachment to them. So I think where this can become super toxic is when, like, you, at least this is just, again, like, I'm airing out all the tea right now, but like, this is the only way I can describe it just through my own personal experience, is like when you get glimpses and moments of a guy saying the right things, offering the right things, so like validating you, being super like, you know, I love that you're open, or like, I love that you're talking to me about this, or I love that whatever, like, I want a future with you, I want to move in with you, whatever, I want to move to Canada with you, yada yada yada, you know, they say all the things and they make you feel, and I do believe in that moment it probably is coming from a place of what they believe to be real intentions, but it's like they say all these things and you believe it, right? I mean, at least I used to, but you like kind of take it at face value because it's exactly what you want to hear. And you're like, oh shit, they are on the same page as me. Like, they also want a relationship. They also think I'm amazing. They also never felt anything like this before. And you feel, like this article says, that all of your needs and desires are being met. And it's an amazing feeling. Of course it is. Falling in love and meeting someone that you really care about, it's a great feeling, but it's also terrifying sometimes, because you're like, when is the other shoe going to drop? When are they going to change their mind? When are they going to backtrack? When are they going to get scared? And it doesn't always happen, of course, but it often does, right? When there's some dynamic that shifts, or maybe they said too much, or they promised too much and they can't live up to it, or maybe they're like, whatever. And this goes for girls and guys. Girls do this all the time as well. And then I think that is what triggers the emotional attachment from the other partner, who was like, wait, 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 but you said this and you said this, and did you not mean it? Did you not? And they're like holding on to that version of you that you presented and those expectations that you presented at the beginning. And although you're trying to like pull away because you feel like you cannot live up to that, potentially, if you're an anxious attachment, or you feel like you're just going to disappoint them, or just it's just easier just to ignore them or whatever. Oftentimes, if you're dating an emotional attachment, that's going to make them cling on harder, because maybe they feel like this is just a test of their loyalty, or maybe they feel like this is just an obstacle and you just need to make it through, and that maybe you'll change your mind and go back to the way you were. Oftentimes when you're dating someone, or especially if it's like a toxic or abusive situation, like, you're sticking around for the good times and the good memories and the promises, and like, you're not fighting so hard for a relationship if there's like nothing there. And that's hard because you do have to learn, and I learned this the hard way, but I do think it's a lesson I've learned, is like you need to take people at face value. If someone's showing you who they are, you need to believe them. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It doesn't mean that they meant to hurt you or that they meant to lead you on, but like people change their mind, people get scared, people find other people that they're more interested in, like shit happens. And resent myself or regret how I used to behave as a younger girl because I was young and I was learning. And of course, if I could go back and tell that 22-year-old girl to just like, girly, like take a step back, have some self-respect, like don't chase this man down, just, you know, he wants to go, let him go. Like instead of laying my entire heart on the line just to try to change his mind. But again, like that's who I am. Like I'm a lover, I'm a romantic. When I love someone, and I mean like when I love them unconditionally. I love them even though they often meet me there or sometimes can't even meet me halfway. I'm still just like, I don't care if you're not here yet. Like I'm here and I love you. And I understand why that would be like intense for some people. So I understand that like my energy when dating, especially in the past, has been overwhelming for people. But I just stand by the fact that, like, at least at the bare minimum, I was honest, open, vulnerable, said what I wanted, said what I needed, kept it 100. And even if that made me come across as like needy or but with that being said, like, I do want to reiterate that you're not stuck in whatever label you think that you're stuck in. My mom kind of called me out on this the other day, and sorry, guys, I'm so burpy. My mom kind of called me out on this the other day, and it really resonated with me. She was just sort of saying, like, I feel like you label yourself all the time. Like, you are always like, you know, I'm the anxious girl. I'm the eating disorder girl. I'm the this girl, this, like, it's like you, it's almost like you're trying to claim these things before other people can bestow it upon you. Like, before, I don't want someone else maybe to notice I'm anxious and to call me out on it. So it's like, I'd rather just say it myself that this is who I am, take it or leave it. And it's definitely like a defense mechanism, I think. But she was right. She's like, you are just an ever-growing, ever-changing entity. Yes, some days you have anxiety, but some days you don't have that much anxiety, and you don't need to always be the anxious girl. And just like, I don't always need to be the emotional attachment girl, or I don't, like, or you, whoever's listening, you don't always have to be the avoidant attachment person. Like, it's important to recognize things within yourself, to be self-aware and to grow, do some research, go talk to a therapist, whatever you need to do. All I would say is if whatever you are doing in your dating life, if it is unhealthy or toxic, or you're actively hurting people and like leading people on or breaking people's hearts because you just cannot really work through some of these issues that are embedded within yourself, then I really would recommend doing some inner work and like healing that inner child, so to speak, before you go out and potentially like hurt more people and lead more people on or ghost more people or whatever it is. Like, I'm saying the same thing for me. Like, I've been working really, really hard in the last year, and it's made me completely change my headspace, my approach, my standards, everything. And that's all you can ask for, right? You can't ask for perfection from people, but you can ask for progress. So I don't think you should write somebody off entirely if they are an emotional attachment or emotional avoidant or disorganized. Like, we're all one of them. We're all going to be one or the other or the other. Like, there's nobody who's completely devoid of these very human psychological attributes. If someone is like completely toxic when it comes to being an emotional attachment or an avoidant, then yeah, maybe you should cut them loose. But if someone's struggling to overcome some issues or some traumas, and but they're really working on it and they just are really trying to communicate with you where they're at, like, I think cut them some slack, you know, at least they're trying. And maybe they're not gonna say the right thing all the time or do the right thing all the time, or maybe they are going to come across as a little bit cold or a little bit desperate or whatever it may be. But like, none of us are perfect when dating. We all do cringy things, say cringy things. We all have regrets. But yeah, I hope you guys like this episode of Something a Little Bit Different. Thank you to this Healthline article for giving me a little bit of factual information that I could build upon with my own crazy anecdotes and analogies. Yeah, I really wanted to talk about this because it is an ever-growing topic within social media and within Gen Z / millennials. It's something I notice people talk about a lot more with their girlfriends, or like with each generation, there's always like a buzzword or like a few keywords that define what they're looking for in a partner or what they're looking for in dating. And like, I feel like for my generation, I'm a millennial, as you guys know, it's definitely like emotional availability or like emotional maturity. Like, how many freaking times have you guys heard that? Like, girls talking about, I just want a man who's emotionally mature. I just want a man who's emotionally available. Like, that is the key word of my generation. That's what every girly girl is looking for. And unfortunately, it seems quite hard to find with a lot of guys my age. But I don't necessarily blame the guys for that. I kind of blame more how they've been socialized by friends, family, and society. So just keep it real, keep it honest, keep working on yourself. Don't think just because you found someone or you're in a relationship or you're married or whatever it may be that the work's done. The work is never done. There's nothing more attractive than someone who's driven to better themselves and better their lives. Like, that is the number one most attractive quality in someone. And someone who's confident and someone who's compassionate. So no matter where you're at in life, just keep trying to emulate those things. And yeah, I will keep you guys updated on my tumultuous dating life. It's always interesting. I don't know what I'm going to talk about on this podcast when I actually do find like a healthy, loving, reciprocated relationship. Like, what the heck am I going to talk about? Anyways, love you guys so much. I did upload a few YouTube videos in the last few weeks. So check those out if you'd like. I'd really appreciate that if you could subscribe as well on YouTube. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on whatever streaming service you're using, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever it is. Please hit that follow button. You can also leave a rating and review. Stay safe, stay well, and enjoy your 20s. Bye.